This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 153 for Monday, May 18th, 2015. This is Brian.
It's the 19th.
This is the Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 153 for Monday, May 19th, Tuesday. Can we do bloopers?
This would probably be the cleanest blooper that we have.
Episode 153 for Tuesday, May 19th, 2015. This is Brian. Did I get it right?
This is Lisa.
All right, this is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
153, Tuesday, the 19th, 2015. All right, we got all our numbers out of the way.
I noticed that, like, right when I hit start, and I was going to be so proud of myself for doing it on the fly, and then I realized we did it on Monday last week. So technically, I was correct. I added 7.
Well, if it was Monday, you'd be correct. Anyway, we're here. You're on call, so folks, if Brian gets a call and he disappears, just keep hanging with me. We'll figure it out.
Is probably the better end of the deal anyway, so.
I'd probably talk more.
You probably won't even know I'm gone. Anyway.
So, I will confess that sometimes it gets hard to come up with entertaining, informative content week after week. And so sometimes at the store, in the week preceding the show, or sometimes a couple hours preceding the show, we'll kind of take a poll between Dave and I and Brian, and what should we talk about, what's different, what's new, what's going on in the community. And I kind of like what we came up with today.
Yeah, it's not bad. Well, I'm just thinking about this. You realize we've pretty much been doing this now for 3 years?
It'll be 3 years in a couple weeks.
Yep.
I'm tired.
After 3 years, and most of that, I don't think we took more than a week off.
I think we took a week off here and there, like when I had my eye surgery. Did we take a week off when we went to L.A.? Or
like
did we just move it?
We did a couple years ago. We took, like, if it was for LA, we didn't do it. But
yeah. Anyway, so we came up with Penn myths and legends today.
Yeah, I think it's a good topic.
Folklore and fairy tale.
Well, there's a lot of I frequent Reddit, a little bit of FPN. I do check in on FP Geeks and Penn Trace. Try to do all of those on a daily basis. Doesn't always happen, but I hit most of them, and I see a lot of the same information. Some of it's bad. Some of it falls into this myth and legend category. So let's knock a couple of them out.
Well, you also read about the same problems, mm-hmm. or complaints. This doesn't work, that doesn't work, I'm having a problem with this, and a lot of them are perhaps uninformed users or misinformed users, people giving bad advice. Mm-hmm. And then you read just one thread that says, oh, if your pen is doing this, you should do that, and sometimes it makes it worse. So let's just jump right in.
All right, go ahead.
All right, I can't see. Number one, hot water is better than cold. True or false, Chesters?
Sorry, I'm gonna jump right in on that one. No, it's not.
Well, can you use hot water?
Oh, you can use whatever you want.
Should you use hot water?
No, absolutely not. Especially with pens, hard rubber feeds, plastics, you can actually ruin the pen. And there's nothing hot water will do that cold water won't do in just a little bit longer period of time. In most cases, you're gonna let this thing soak for a while anyway. So if you had hot water, it's gonna cool off. So Just use Cool. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. Guaranteed not to hurt anything. Now, of course, don't, and we've mentioned this before, don't use, don't put hard rubber pens in water. You don't want to do that. Or casein. The problem is sometimes you don't know what casein is until it's too late.
Right.
So it takes a little bit of experience to get to know what casein looks like and feels like and smells like before you start doing it. But cold water, and that's really all you need. You're going to let it soak anyway if you don't have an ultrasonic. You know, and if you have an ultrasonic, don't use with heat. Don't use the heat function. You don't need to.
Yep. What about distilled water? I know we have some customers who only use distilled water.
I guess if you got it lying around, but it's not necessary. It's not going to harm the pen, but I don't see it as necessary. Just regular old tap water works just fine. You're not going to have it in the pen for, 6 months.
Right.
So.
Okay. Any other water issues?
The next one on the list. Mm-hmm. If you have a hard water.
If you have.
Because that's usually the argument for using distilled water.
Is it you have hard water?
You have hard water. Yeah, that's usually the one I see.
Then move.
Right.
I mean, your pens, your house.
If you love your pens, just get up and move. People use it, but I just don't see it necessary. I mean, unless you've got like your water smells and it's got like weird stuff coming out of it. I mean, floating stuff. It's brown, sometimes when you see these videos of these houses that have been closed up for a while and you turn the water on and it comes up brown. Yeah, I wouldn't put that in my pen, but
it's just a regular horror movie with some serial killer or a haunted house. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. Just regular tap water. It's just fine. You're spending extra money on distilled water. Just think of how many bottles of ink and how many pens you could buy for all that distilled water that you're buying. It's not.
Exactly. Another one that we hear occasionally, or you see occasionally, usually it's newbies, or people who are not really, pen people. They like have a pen maybe, or they inherited a pen. Some people believe that you have to use the same brand ink as the pen. Like you can only use Omas ink in Omas pens, or you can only use Aurora ink in Aurora pens.
Well, marketing executives would like you to believe that.
Yes.
In fact, Mont Blanc claims on its converters, says use only Mont Blanc ink is what they put in there. generally speaking, there's no real reason why you can't use any ink in any pen, as long as it's safe for. Is it safe for fountain pens? It's not India, Higgins, or sometimes it'll be marked as calligraphy ink.
Waterproof drawing, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So, in the chat, we actually forgot this. TJ brings up a good point as far as the water issue. Pen flush. Absolutely. Pen flush works. The only other thing you can use, that I would ever put in my water to clean would be some ammonia, or for example, like the JB's pen flush, which essentially is water and ammonia and some surfactants, essentially soap. This is the only things I would put in water ever. And most of the time I just use plain water and an ultrasonic. So,
yep.
And if you don't have the ultrasonic, then maybe you need that little extra, help from the pen flush. But usually it's a 1-to-10 ratio. Mm-hmm. One part ammonia, 10 parts water.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. Absolutely. But we've had customers, and I kid you not, call in and they've used acetone.
Oh my God.
To clean.
That was bad. That was sad. It was really sad.
Yeah, a customer used acetone to clean their Metropolitan. It got it really clean. It was really clean. It didn't resemble a fountain pen by the time the acetone got at it, but no acetone, no alcohol. Bleach is not necessary. And particularly bleach and ammonia. Don't put those two together ever.
Oh my God.
So ammonia, you know, dishwashing detergent, water, period. Those are the only three ingredients you ever need. And usually you only need them if it's a really stubborn case or if you don't have an ultrasonic. Is really, and if you don't have an ultrasonic, invest the 25 to 50 bucks, you know, your next pen fund, just get an ultrasonic because you'll use it all the time. You'll love it.
You will. It's also great for jewelry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So like every third time we're going through something here, he just hands me a pile of jewelry and I, you know, I clean out the water, just put the jewelry in.
Pair of earrings, a ring, a couple bracelets. That's it.
Necklace. Your rings, my ring.
Trunk of jewelry.
No. So anyway, no acetone. Back to the ink. Same brand as a pen, not necessary. There's plenty of good brands out there. The idea stems from, you know, Parker wants to sell ink, so they have Parker ink, and Montblanc wants to sell ink in addition to the pen. So that's the whole reason behind it.
Yep.
Purely marketing.
All right, you ready?
Do I get to ask you another one?
Sure.
I get to ask you one?
Okay. Sure.
You get a new pen and the first thing you do is take it apart completely to get it clean and knock out the nib. True or false?
I hate when people call the store and they say my pen doesn't work. Generally it's a Twisby because Twisby provides the wrench. And my first question is, oh, did you just get it? Did you take it apart? Yes. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Stop taking your pens apart. Just stop doing it. There's need.
Yeah, if pens were meant to be taken apart before you filled it up, they would just send it to you in pieces, and then you just assemble it like a jigsaw puzzle.
It's not a piece of
ready to assemble. Just get a little bag of Twisby parts.
Or with those really bad, hard to follow instructions.
No,
that
you
need two people to put your furniture together. Yeah.
Right.
You don't need to disassemble your pens to clean them 99% of the time. So if you are switching from one ink to another and nothing has gone wrong, you aren't having any problems, and the pen seems to be clean, just leave it alone.
Yeah. You know, I mean, get it as clean as you can using the regular method. You know, if it's a piston filler, just flush it with water. You know, or the aforementioned water and ammonia and dish detergent, you know, that kind of thing.
JB's pen flush is great.
JB's pen flush is great. Yeah. Do that. Or if, you know, barring that, you know, some people like, you know, sometimes I don't necessarily clean my pens. You know, I'll take a pen and, okay, I need a new cartridge. I'm putting a new cartridge in. I'm not going to flush it. So your ink is going to change color for the first, you know, paragraph. It's going to go from green to blue or whatever colors I put in there, and it's just going to happen. I think it's kind of cool. For a little while, you get to see a little weird color, and it's fine.
Or just rinse it with water, and you know, you may have a tiny bit of the leftover black, and now you're switching to green or whatever, but you do not need to knock out the nib and feed unless you're having an issue. You do not need to disassemble the pen. Do not disassemble your converter. 99% of the time, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, you don't.
I think that too many people can or think that you should. So a lot of newbies just do it as a matter of course. And that's when your pens crack, is when you're putting them back together a lot of the time.
Yeah, if you don't put it back together properly, I mean,
you end up with extra parts. Things don't fit the way they did before. So you do not need to disassemble your pen. It drives me crazy that there are dozens of threads that say, you know, you have to do it. Now, you might want to if you've used, let's say, Bay State Blue and you're a little anal and you want to get your pen, you know, back to pristine clean. Bay State Blue, just dedicate a pen and just let it go.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, that's easy for us to say, right? So But yeah, just try to avoid it. It's just it's going to be a headache down the road at some point, because you're going to put something together wrong, or it's not going to go back in right. Especially with piston fillers, if you don't put it together right, you lose ink capacity.
Yep.
You know, and so,
knocking out the nib and feed.
Yeah, vintage pens. You know, I see a lot of beginners that they'll buy. They'll go from modern to vintage, which is a natural course of, you know, progression. And the first thing they want to do is they want to pull the nib out. So they're trying to pull it out the front. Well, in vintage pens, 95% of the time, you have to knock them up because they're friction fit. So you can't pull them out like you can a modern nib unit in most cases. So yeah, you just don't, you know, unless you're restoring the pen, in which case you should take it apart. Right. And then you should have some kind of idea what you're doing. You should have your repair book, which we talked about a while back, the repair books, the Dubiel book, the Marshall Oldfield book, you know. So
yep.
But
just one of those things. We just have so many people who call in or who see us at shows, and you know, they're having an issue, and it's because you can change your spark plugs on your car doesn't necessarily mean you should. Same kind of thing. Maybe that's
Have you ever changed the spark plugs on your car?
Not on this car. I have in the past.
Have you really? Okay.
I really have.
Okay. All right.
Replaced all my hoses and, oh yeah.
Mrs. Goodrich.
It was a long time ago. I think it was like 19 or 20. I lived in Florida. I had an older car, and I refused to be at the mercy of overpriced mechanics who were going to take advantage of some naive blonde. So I had a friend who was a mechanic, and he taught me a couple of things.
Okay.
I just hide those things from you so that you take care of it, because just because I can doesn't mean I like it.
Okay. All right. Moving right along.
Moving on. Maybe this one you don't like.
I don't know if I want to call this a pet peeve, but this thing is just this one drives me nuts. And if Tim were in the chat, he would be agreeing with us totally, 110% on this one. Use a paper bag to smooth your nib.
I never got that. Like, why?
I'm gonna go brown bag, and I'm gonna have a sandwich and some chips and a cookie, and then when I'm done, I'm gonna use the bag to smooth my nib. I know some people say they think it works.
How much of that is in your head, though? Like,
yeah, you know, so let's say that, you know, like, and then there's all sorts effect of different kinds of bags, right? What's that?
It's like the placebo effect. You think it's going to work, so it does in your head.
I think so. Now, sure, there can be some paper bags that are slightly abrasive. They're coarse, but here's the real question. So, no grocery bag I've ever seen says 12,000 grit on it, or 8,000, or 9,000.
And in micromesh, for those.
Yeah, micromesh is what, $2.75 a pad, and one pad will last you forever unless you lose it. So let's just say that, let's say the paper bag actually is abrasive and it actually can have that effect. You don't know what grit you're working with, so you don't know what to follow up with. It's just not a good idea. And plus, you're going to get those fibers from the bag between your nib, between the tines of your nib. So now you got to take care of that issue. So you got to buy brass sheet anyway. So you might as well buy a piece of micromesh with your brass sheet. Right?
Well, agreed. I mean, the big paper bags that we get from our local grocery store, I find to be a little, I guess you'd call them fibrous. I don't think of them as, they're not like paper smooth. They're a little bit rougher. I got a roll with my soup today at lunch, and it was a totally different kind of paper bag that was very smooth, probably coated almost. But you don't know what you're getting. And how is that really any different from just different types of paper?
Well,
how many people have problems with their fountain pens when they use the cheap, bad copy paper because it's fibrous.
Yeah. Well, so it's not much different than this. How about this? So if you don't know what grit, let's just say it is. There is some grit to it. Maybe there is some truth to it, right? But it's no different than sending you a bottle of ink and saying, okay, here's your ink. But there's no label on it. You don't know what kind it is. You don't know if it's fast dry. You don't know if it's, eel type of more fluid. You don't know if it's permanent. You don't know anything about it. But here you go. Right?
That's a problem. It's a problem. Are you sending out unmarked bottles of ink that I don't know about?
I got all this extra stuff up in the shelf up here, so that I keep finding.
All right. Let's keep moving on.
All right. Every pen needs to be adjusted before using.
Well, maybe we should have combined that with every nib needs to be tweaked or,
Okay. Well, isn't that coming up? That's coming up.
It is.
All right. So let's combine those into one. Okay. They're really the same thing.
You get a new pen. You buy it online. You buy it at a show. You do not immediately need to walk it over to Masuyama unless you want a custom grind.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do it, but it's absolutely not necessary. These pens are designed, and now some write better out of the box than others, but they're obviously designed to be used as a pen, not a, something to put under glass. So they should work out of the box.
Yes. You don't need to have it modified before using it unless you want something special.
Yeah, there is a lot of, this interesting side topic almost, because you see a lot of this all the time. I need to send nibs off to a nibmeister. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is this very thing, right? You're going to have someone who graduates from a Pilot Metropolitan, they want to buy something else, but they're afraid because now all of a sudden, in addition to the $50 cost for the Twisby, they have to pay $30 to $35 to have somebody tweak it. And now they're into $85, plus they've got to shipping or they've got to go to the show or whatever. It's just simply it's not true. Most pens work perfect out of the box, and if they don't, then it's a warranty issue. If you want something specific, like you said, then that's different.
Yeah, if you want some kind of a custom grind, an italic nib, and the company doesn't make that, then yes, you send it off and you have it custom ground. But, a fine is going to write like a fine. A medium is going to write like medium. It doesn't need to be adjusted, tweaked, spread, ground, whatever.
Right.
One of my favorites.
This one is two, yes. Yes. Go for it.
This one. Yeah. I still hear this. And it's funny and sad at the same time. And think about this for just a couple seconds and it won't make sense. Handing your pen to someone and letting them borrow your pen to write a note, to write their name, to sign a check, whatever, is not going to ruin the nib. It's not. I promise you. Unless they're, doing something improperly, but just writing in a normal way on normal paper. Brian and I swap pens all the time, or I take his pens. It's not going to run down the nib. It's not going to wear down the nib by letting somebody sign their name.
Yes, this is the pen forms to your style of handwriting myth. These pens are not made out of, the nibs are not made out of butter. If pens, again, barring any heavy-handed person trying to flex a manifold nib or what have you, if me, and I lend my pens to anybody and everybody, I very rarely not hand someone a pen if it's in my pocket. Wait. What?
Even your Mont Blanc?
I have been known to.
What? All right. I'll remember that.
That.
Let me just say two words. Ready?
Yeah.
Saibi Togi.
Oh, okay.
lending your pens. I mean, I'm just skipping right over that. The tester pens that we have at the show, and most of you in the chat, and I know many, many of you listening to the podcast later, you've all used our personal pens. It doesn't change how they write.
Yeah. Yeah. And also our personal pens, I don't always use the same brand of ink. I don't ever, very rarely ever take them apart to clean them. I don't adjust them. I don't do anything. I don't flush them beforehand. That's how they are. If that was truly the case, you would rarely see a vintage nib that was any good, because they would be completely worn out. And these nibs will last, with normal use, they can last 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So.
Yep. So. Let's see, we skip the next one. All right, initial pen problems. You get a pen, you ink it up, and it's not working quite the way you thought it should. Does that automatically mean you got a dud pen?
No, not at all.
Okay. What's it mean?
You know, that means, well, it means there's a triad here, right? You know, I guess it's more like this. Pen, paper, and ink. So right. What ink did you put in it? And what were you writing on? So you stole the copy paper from the copier at work, and you got some, I don't even know what kind of ink. Change the variables. Get better paper, something that's not, you know, not porous like that stuff is. And maybe try changing inks. Now, you may have one ink that works great in three pens, but it doesn't work great in the fourth pen. And then you might have one ink that doesn't work in any of those three pens, you know, so. You'll find you have certain pens that certain inks work better in. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a problem of the ink or it's a problem of the pen. It's just a part of that whole picture.
Right.
So. And that also goes along with just because one pen is bad or initial pen problem doesn't mean that the whole line is bad. So you'll see that a lot because people will extrapolate. Well, I had a cross pen and it was really bad. Well, which one did you have?
What did you have in it? And
yeah.
You know, where did you keep it? It's also not just that it had, let's say, poor flow or the nib was scratchy or, you know, whatever. Sometimes if you don't have the converter in all the way or if you've filled it oddly, you know, sometimes you have the opposite problem and you may have nib creep, you may have leaking issues. We had a customer not too long ago who had an issue with a pen leaking, and it was because the converter wasn't fully seated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just, in that case, it was more user error than anything. But, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, and it doesn't always immediately mean that you got a dud pen.
Right, right. Yeah, there was something, was it last week, I think, on Reddit, somebody was saying that he was wondering if all fountain pens leak. He had dropped it three times and he had twirled it in his fingers during class or something, and he wanted to know if all fountain pens leaked like that. His entire cartridge went, all the ink from the cartridge went out of the pen and into the cap. So
at least he had the cap on and didn't start flicking the people sitting next to him.
Well, wouldn't that have been a sight, huh? Oh, what's happening here?
Especially if it was red ink, it'll look like blood spatter, high velocity.
So anyway, next one is highly contested. And we can talk about this all day long, but I think, yeah, we won't. I think most a lot of people will be on our side on this one. What is better, gold nib or steel nib?
Depends on the pen.
Oh, that's not sweet. Let me try that again.
All right.
Is a gold nib, let me rephrase it. Is a gold nib better than a steel nib?
No, not necessarily. That's obnoxous.
Sorry.
No, it is not necessarily better. Nor is a 9000 series Estabrook always 10 times smoother than a 2000 series.
No.
A lot of it is just a personal preference. A lot of it is what you think it should be. I don't have a single Edison or Franklin Kristoff pen with a gold nib, and they are phenomenal writers.
Well, here's the thing, right? The part that you write with is not the gold, it's not the steel, it's the tipping material that is on the gold or the steel.
Right. That's the ironic part.
Since 95% of all modern pens don't have a flex nib, they're not even soft, they're not manifold, but they're firm. It really doesn't make one iota. I think where people have an issue is they're paying $150, $200, $250 for a pen. It better have a 14 karat nib. But it doesn't mean that a steel nib performs any worse than a gold nib. Now, when you're talking flex, that's a different thing.
Right.
Vintage flex, it's completely, completely different issue.
But for a number of reasons, on a number of pens, you do not need to upgrade to the gold unless you want it. But don't be afraid if you've got a gold versus a steel option. Don't be afraid to try the steel. Mm-hmm. You know, do the Coke and Pepsi test kind of thing. You know, close your eyes and write with it and see if you feel a difference.
Yeah, if you have that luxury. Now there's a couple of brands, you know, modern brands that you can do that with. Like you say, Edison, Franklin Kristoff, you can get a gold or a steel nib option in the same pen. And like you, I have, I don't know how many Edisons I have, 3, 4. I've got one sitting in front of me here.
We've each got a couple of Franklin Kristoffs, and they're killer writers.
Yeah, they're fine. Uh-huh. They're absolutely fine. So.
And quite honestly, the upcharge to do the gold nib, while it absolutely is worth it to some people, it isn't to me because my pens write just great the way they are. So that $100 is a pen.
Right.
That's another pen I can buy.
Absolutely.
Easily. Yep.
Yep. So.
So anyway, there's that. A couple Mythbusters.
I'm gonna think of like five more after we.
Well, we'll talk about them next week.
Yeah. Okay. So if you guys have any other things to add to the list, any other myths, let us know. It'd be fun to we can chat about it next week or on a future podcast.
So. There you go.
All right. What's next?
Well, last week, this kind of leads into a couple other things. Last week we mentioned we had a visit from Ken Jones of Yaffa, and we went to dinner, and it included a shopping trip.
This is the classic. We're writing stuff down on the backs of cocktail napkins.
I still have mine. Actually, I wrote down what we bought and what we negotiated for price, and then I copied it and gave one to Kenny because we all know, the three of us, Brian, Kenny, and I, we all know Kenny's not going to remember. Yeah. And I wanted to make sure that I knew what we agreed to so that there was no issue when the invoice came later. He ended up, in typical awesome Kenny fashion, we were eating and getting ready to finish. And the whole time he's like, all right, so I've got this pen. It's being discontinued. How about this many for this price? And we'd negotiate and haggle, and we ended up getting some really cool stuff that, some of it we haven't carried before. And we Some of them are discontinued, so we got them at a good price. We're passing mm-hmm. that on to you. We've got some of them up on the site now, but we'll have more. They're coming this week, and we'll have some fun things.
So. Cool.
And this is my favorite part. We got two umbrellas, two Hugo Boss umbrellas.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's they're nice umbrellas. They really are. It's part of the Hugo Boss line, men's accessories, mostly I mean, men's, although there are some ladies' items, purse hangers and things like that. But yep. they have umbrellas available to us in the catalog, and they're really nice.
I'm telling you right now. I asked Kenny how much they were. He's offered to send us a couple. I like them a lot. They have. They're huge. The golf umbrella is gigantic, and the small little portable one that would fit in my briefcase unfolds and, you know, one little push button.
And then it refolds.
Yeah, you push the button on the handle, and the whole thing opens up and unfolds like all the cool ones do now. And then you push the button again, and it compacts. Very cool. And the bigger golf umbrella has a, they're just beautiful. They're incredibly well made. So if anybody needs an umbrella, let us know. We'll get you.
Yeah, the ironic thing is it was pouring rain yesterday. We really could have used it. It was Sunday night. Tomorrow I have Fox Valley Sign is coming over. They're changing the logo on the window. We are now officially Anderson Pens and Umbrellas. AndersonPensandUmbrellas.com.
No. No, but it's not something you expect to be done well by a company that makes pens, except it's Yafa's not making it, it's Hugo Boss, and Hugo Boss makes wonderful men's accessories. But yeah, it was I got this big long package from FedEx, and I thought it was some posters we were waiting for. And no, it was our umbrellas, and they were pretty cool. So
that's fun.
That was our little surprise for the week.
All right. Let's see. Just a reminder of the paper blanks planner giveaway. We have two of the paper blanks mini planners. Lisa's got them in her hands right now. That we're giving away starts. What did I say? They start July 1st.
July 1st.
And they run through December 31st, 2016. So they're a solid year and a half planner.
Yes.
And they're great. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. The silver filigree Maya.
This is gorgeous.
And they have about a week. When you open it up, they have a whole week on there. Really nice journals. But we got two of them. We're going to give them away. Details on the blog, right on the homepage of the blog, blog.andersonpens.com. Basically, you write in. It's a write-in contest. No emails. International is absolutely cool, but get them in right away. Yep. And
what are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do with it?
Why do you want a planner?
Include the pen that you wrote with and the ink you used. And you're going to send it to the address that we're going to give you later at the end of the podcast. So, again, you can also see it on the blog. It's a top article on the blog right now. So,
yeah, they're great little planners.
And nice paper.
Yes. Fountain pen friendly. A nice ivory color. Not too yellow, but definitely not bright white. It's done very well.
Yeah, so. And it's a nice size, easy to tuck in purse, briefcase, backpack, the side pocket of the car. I mean, really, it can go anywhere. Real nice size.
Yeah. So. But they sent them to us for free, and we wanted to do a giveaway. And we are having so much fun with the entries that we've gotten so far. We've had some funny ones. We've had some serious ones. We had a couple mushy ones. It was great. Keep it up.
What's going on in the store? Should we talk about that real quick?
We should.
First off, more Ackerman has arrived in the building. Now we're getting this in boxes from the Netherlands. They ship us about, they can only ship us 58 bottles at a time.
That's so how many fit in their boxes.
We don't have it all yet, but we have most of it now. So that's coming in. Samples, bottles, empty bottles, as we run through the samples. So be on the lookout for those.
Yeah, the colors are great. I've been doing up the swabs, and we've all been doing up the samples, and there's some really cool colors. So stock up on samples, see which color you want. Grab an empty bottle. Those are very cool. Yeah. And
the bottles are just awesome all around.
Yeah. So. Well, the colors are gorgeous. It's nice ink.
Yeah, nice. They're nice. Yep. All right, what else you got? This is your doing, by the way, so I'm going to let you introduce this next product. This is one of those Lisa. This is going to be Lisa's folly. I got a feeling. How many of these do we have? We got one for you and one for me.
You know, this is where analog meets digital kind of
thing. Here goes.
Some of the stuff that we got from Yafa included a couple selfie pens.
Okay, now you got to explain what a selfie pen is.
Okay, connects wirelessly to your phone or your tablet or your
Bluetooth,
your Android. Yeah, via Bluetooth. And so you can set up your phone or your tablet, and you can take a selfie by just pushing the button on the pen, as opposed to holding your phone out and you've always got, you know, your arm in the shot or it's always a little too close. And I just thought they were kind of cool. I'm sure that if we put them in the window, the kids from Lawrence will come and think that they're kind of fun. And then we also got, now these are cool. The next thing I think are pretty cool, and anyone out there who's ever had a phone die on you will agree with me.
Now, we should mention the selfie pen and this next one are ballpoints, right?
Yes.
There's no fountain pen options. It's a ballpoint.
No, ballpoints. So, Brian, deal with that.
Okay, go.
We also got some little power bank ballpoints.
Then explain what a power bank is.
You can actually charge your phone with your pen. How cool is that?
The pen is mightier than the sword.
The pen is mightier than the phone. Now it shows, we have a battery that we use to charge our phone because we use it so much, it shows. But if you forget to charge your phone the night before, or you've been on a long distance call or just a long time call and it's taken forever, you can actually plug in your phone or tablet or whatever into the power bank ballpoint pen, and it has a battery that will charge it. It's kind of cool.
You know, I had a great idea. The power bank pen needs to come. You're going to like this. You're going to like this idea. And as soon as the podcast is over, you're going to be emailing Kenny and tell him that you need this.
Okay.
The power bank pen needs to come in a stylus option. There's crickets on the other end. Can you see that though at a show? You can plug in your phone, you can charge your phone, you can use the stylus.
Does it have a stylus? I thought it did.
No, I don't think it does. I think it's just a ballpoint. But if you can make it a stylus, that would be cool. We'll have to look at that.
Okay.
That would be neat. You don't think it's as cool as I do. Moving right along. speaking of paper blanks, a bunch of them came in today. I couldn't even see the just mass of them that came in. And did you say we got some new ones or pretty much just?
It has a stylus.
Oh, it does have a stylus.
Yes.
Oh, they don't have them yet. I don't think I've ever seen it.
The selfie pen has a stylus.
Oh, okay.
Looking for the other one. Keep going.
Well, anyway, We'll get back to you on that one. Paper blanks are in. More new stuff. So I don't think we got any new styles in paper blanks, did we?
We got two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, two that we didn't have before. It was just a restocking, but we were out. Chicago, we brought them, and we sold a lot, so we had to restock, and they're great.
It's good stuff. So, yeah, so we will be bringing those to shows. They're awesome. You're going to love them, and you're going to have the same problem that most people do. They can't decide, so they end up buying, like, two or three. Yeah, we had several people that are like, okay. And they're not expensive. I don't think that they're that expensive for what you get. They're, you know, they're running that $11 to $23 range. So, all right, you've got some news from our good friends at Twisby.
Yep, I'm just answering Lori. Yes, Lori, we will be bringing the Ackerman Inc. to Raleigh. Not enough. So place the order online and do pinch up. That's probably the best thing. If you're going to Raleigh or DC or any place, because if you can't get to the table, especially at the bigger shows, if you can't get to the table until like Saturday, it'll be gone.
Yeah. So, you know, to ensure you get, if you don't know, that's fine. But if you know what colors you're going to look at, and I think the sample images are pretty close. I'm doing a little tweaking to the samples lately, and I think we're pretty good. That will ensure you get the colors that you want for sure.
Yeah.
And just use there's a little drop down for shipping method called Pen Show Pickup, and then just in the notes say which Pen Show, because we already have. We have Pen Show pickups for Dallas already, and that's
we like do
4 months away.
She was ready.
If you want to make sure.
Yep.
Anyway.
I heard from Twisby. I emailed Philip Wang at Twisby. We were emailing back and forth, and I wanted to get the scoop on some of the new stuff. The Eco, he said maybe next month. They're trying for that.
And the Eco is essentially, just if anybody doesn't know what it is, it's the, what's the best way to describe it? It's the little brother of the 580. Piston fill, nib units are not to be interchanged. So it's going to be a little more simpler version of the 580. And I believe that they are not transparent.
Okay.
I believe. So.
The VAC Mini is not quite ready. Since there were some issues, Philip said, in the very beginning with the VAC 700s, he wants to make sure that these are perfect out of the gate. So they are working to make that happen. And so he said soon.
Yeah, VAC Mini could be cool. It really could be a neat pen. And then, of course, along with the VAC Mini is the newly redesigned VAC 20A bottles.
Yep.
Which actually are ready now, but they're going to launch with the VAC Mini. So.
Yeah, he said that they're going to wait and launch those together. I would love to see the new VAC 20 bottles out now because people have VACs.
Right.
And, you know, you can get a full fill without using the bottle, but the bottle is the fastest and easiest way to get a full fill in, you know, two strokes.
Yeah, it does take a little effort. And actually, I think I did a video with the VAC 700 on how to fill it with the bottle, but I don't believe I did a video showing how to do it without the bottle.
Right.
There was a way to do it, but. So you have to be a little more patient. Those things hold a ton of ink, so
they do.
But, we'll see what the VAC Mini could be interesting. I wonder how they're going to incorporate that. What is now a fairly large step between the barrel and the section. So maybe on the VAC Mini, it's going to be a little bit smaller. Maybe, I mean, we'll see what it looks like, but
we'll see.
It's going to be fun. So, all right. Anything else? I think that's pretty much it for that, huh?
That's pretty much it.
Also stuff maybe next week. So we get it up.
Get what up?
Don't we have? Well, we're getting stuff in all the time. So
we are.
We got some shout outs this week.
We have a big shout out. I don't think this counts as food because we mentioned Kenny. But in LA, Paul brought us a bottle of wine. It's so sweet when people bring us alcohol. We get beer, we get wine. Paul brought us this beautiful bottle of wine, and we like to share a bottle of wine out by our fire pit. And February in Wisconsin outside is not the time to do it. So we saved it.
Yep.
It's pretty nippy. So we saved it until this past weekend, and we had it, and it was delightful.
Yeah, oh, really good stuff.
Awesome.
Earthquake, yeah. I think that's what it was.
I want more. So we need to go back to California.
Well, we're going to be there in
December.
So, no, we're going to be in San Francisco in a few months.
That's true. Awesome. Anyway, so Paul, thank you so much. The wine was just delightful, and we toasted you. I'm sure your ears were ringing. It was wonderful.
I sent him an email while we were outside. So.
Oh, awesome. Did you send him a picture of the fire?
I did not. I took a picture of the fire, but I didn't send it to him. So.
All right.
I don't think I did. Yeah.
Shout outs to Paul for your very generous gift. It was delicious. And that's it.
Anything else? Okay. I think that's it for this week. Thanks much for joining us again. If you have any other additions to our myth list, comments, suggestions, let us know. Use your pens. Write to us. Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Awesome. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all of that as Anderson Pens.
The blog is blog.andersonpens.com, and that's where you will see the Paper Blanks Planner giveaway when you will send it to the address we just mentioned.
And the website is andersonpens.com.
Check out the social media for updates and new products or events in the store. Thanks much for listening to our podcast. We will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.
It'll be pre-Raleigh.
Pre-Raleigh. Good night.